You are listening to Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to Well Met. We're a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. I'm John, and with me I've got the two best co-hosts in Hearthstone. First, he's Canadian, he has a beard, and he's everyone's favorite apparently. It's Kevin Hovdestad. Hey Kevin.
Tough to respond to an introduction like that. How you doing, John?
Dude, I'm great, man. It's good to be back in the saddle here. Feels like things have finally settled into the flow. No technical malfunctions, so I'm good.
Nice.
And also, he's from Kansas City. He's always ready for a face hunter rant, and his internet is faster than yours. Fun fact. It's J.R. Cook. Hey, J.R.
Hey, my internet's faster. My baseball team's better. That's how it goes, right?
I told you I was going to mute you if you brought that up.
What about the Royals and Twins?
Yes.
Yeah.
God. You had to do
it. You know what? Look, I'm not going to talk about baseball, okay? I want to talk real quick just about the Nintendo World Championship. Because if you guys watched that tonight, that was awesome. Mario Maker is pretty darn sweet. I can't wait for that game.
It's going
to
be nuts.
So explain it to me. I missed it. I've been getting stuff set up today. So
back in the 90s, maybe the 80s, I can't even remember. I was a kid. They used to do the Nintendo World Championship where you remember the movie The Wizard with Fred Savage and where they would play Super Mario Brothers 3. It was similar to that where they play like a new game or whatever. And it was basically like the precursor of esports, right? In a way.
Okay.
But anyway, they brought it back this year, like for the first time in like 20 some years. And they I only got to catch the end of it. And they had two players playing Mario Maker. So they were playing never before seen levels that were created by these guys.
Wow.
And they had to play through them, and whoever, you know, beat it first or whatever won.
That's really cool.
Yeah. The gist of it is it's basically a community level creation tool that uses the original Super Mario, Super Mario World 3, Super Mario World from Super Nintendo, and the new Mario from the Wii U. Those four sets of art assets, you can create your own levels, design them, upload them to the Wii U's like central servers where anybody can download and play them. It's an infinite amount of content, community created and curated for Mario, and it's going to bring speedrunning back in a way that's totally unheard of, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be crazy.
I was a Nintendo fanboy before Blizzard, so this totally. I was really excited.
Are either of you going to do that? Make your own levels?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. My biggest, like, what got me really into video games as a kid, obviously beyond playing them, was starting to muck around with the tools in the back end. Build your own maps to play Warcraft 2 on. I spent hours, days in things like the level editors for the old Duke Nukem 3D when it first came out, or trying to build maps to play Quake on. Like, that was what kind of got everybody really, like, psyched up to be excited about trying new things in the games they already knew how to play.
Yeah. And for me, it was just bringing back kind of the hype of being like 10 years old. Super Mario Brothers 3 is coming out, and the first time we get to see it is through a movie that is showing it on, like, these kids competing against each other. It's just the nostalgia behind it was great.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, I look forward to hearing more, but we should probably talk a little bit about Hearthstone this week. Kev, how'd you do, man?
Oh, you know, I was really excited. I was trying a ton of new decks. I was messing around with some stuff because I had seen some cool things. For those of you who haven't checked it out, there is a subreddit on Reddit called Competitive HS, Competitive Hearthstone. People who hit Legend will upload their deck lists, proof of how they hit Legend. Lots of them will upload their stats tracking. So I've been checking just to see kind of what people have played with and mess around with some of them myself. There's a cool mech hunter that I played with for a few days. Playing with these decks has torpedoed absolutely torpedoed my rank. I'm sitting at like 9 right now because I just wanted to try it. I wanted to see. I figured the month is long. I got lots of time. I got started earlier. So what the heck? Let's just see if maybe one of these people has broken the meta. Have they found something that will just scoot right through? And the answer is no. Most of them honestly don't trade favorably with the stuff that's competitive on the ladder right now. The meta is just as stable and stagnant as it was a week ago, 2 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago at this point. So I'm probably going to honestly go back to my control warrior because I feel like it's the best chance I have to counter patron, counter face hunter, and trade 50-50 with handlock.
Nice. What about you, JR? How'd you do this week?
Well, I'm, last week I said I didn't really play much, and I've given up for this month already. I can't get into ranked play. Like, ranked play for me right now is just not enticing for me, unfortunately. So I'm just messing around, basically. I'm just messing around, and I've just put out a deck of the week, mid-range hunter, which has been pretty popular on the ladder, put out a deck on how to play it. That's kind of what I played for a little bit. I went up like 5 or 6 ranks with it just to play it out so that I could write about it, basically. But as far as like laddering right now, I just can't get into it. Just the rewards aren't there for me. And I'm looking forward to the new stuff that they announced that we'll get to later. So how about you, John?
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Your favorite spoiler. I actually had a really good week, but I binge played. So, you know where you don't play for like 5 days straight and then you decide to play like for 9 hours straight until like 4 a.m. Yep. That's what I did. So, yeah. So good news. I'm at an 80% win rate for the season, which feels great. I glided right up to rank 10 super easily. So it's just kind of bub, went straight up. And all in all, it's been a great week and I'm excited to play more. I'm actually kind of re-energized to play a little bit. So feels great.
I wish I could feel the same right now. I just can't get into ranked play at the moment. So
maybe
it'll eventually come back. It goes in waves with me.
My problem right now is just like ranked play in that sort of like not quite legend, the sub legend bracket from, you know, most people I've talked to that have hit legend say the hard part isn't the last 10 games from 2 to legend. There's actually a lot of people who once they hit legend are in the low part of legend will just let people win when they're at like rank 2, rank 1, because they want to help people get there. Because really, once you're in legend, you can't drop back out. So there's no penalty to just saying, I'm going to play mech druid and let people roll over me to get into legend. But that bracket from about like 8 to 2, where you do all the work right now, is gross. And honestly, for me, my problem is I pick a deck that I think is going to work. I play it for a little while and I get destroyed. I hit the hard counter, and generally speaking, if I hit the hard counter more than a couple of times, I switch. Or if I see 3 freeze mages in a row, I pull out control warrior or whatever. It's not working. Like, I have no idea what's going on, or if I'm just getting slow rolled by bad RNG and hitting constantly the hard counters to my decks, but it's making me crazy. I can't quit. I'm not JR. I have to, you know, persevere, but
yeah, I just don't have the time for the grind. That's my problem. Is if I had more time, I would probably be more into it. But I can't commit that much time to trying to get that high right now. I have too much going on in my life that I can't commit that much to the game.
You have Hearthstone on your phone. You just play on the toilet. That's at least 40 minutes a day for oops.
Don't answer that. Come on, man.
I'm joking. Oh, sorry.
Let's talk about the news.
Let's go into the news, boys.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
So, beside your toilet time this week, Kevin, talk to us about the new tournament, or not new tournament, but big tournament that happened this week.
Yeah, so we were privileged sort of to see the first little bit of the Hearthstone Grand Prix at DreamHack this week. At the time of recording, we're just waiting to see how the playoffs will play out because those are actually running tomorrow, sort of late night Sunday, early night Monday is when the last of it will play out. But really great tournament. It's a Swiss starting from 128 players, single elimination best of 5 for the playoffs that we're about to get into now. I don't know that it matters if we talk about the players, because by the time anybody listens to the show, they're going to know who wins. But there were some neat highlights. The big one for me was I got to watch one of the first round matches between Dog and Nieria, where a Lorewalker Cho popped out of one of the piloted shredders and basically decided that match between his control warrior and the oil rogue. Hashtag esports, right? But it was interesting. It was a cool tournament. I think JR, you and I have talked about it a bit, but Swiss feels really good.
Absolutely.
I hope in the future they do a better job of seeding it sort of initially, because I think there were people who were upset at the pro level that they got sort of rolled into, you know, people who very easily could have been top eight players got rolled into each other in the first round or two, which really hurts their chances considering
that happens. So,
oh, sure. And I'm not advocating either way. I'm just saying, I think that they used a system of qualifiers that probably would have allowed them to do basic seeding going in if they had wanted to. And I know they didn't, and that's fine, but it's something that maybe they could consider in the future. John, what do you think?
I agree that I don't know if it was the seeding as much as I don't think there was enough rounds of Swiss to let the good players come through. Right. So basically it's after you lost two rounds, you're essentially out. You can't be in the top eight, which means you can get out very early in seven rounds. So by adding more rounds, so maybe it's three losses or four losses before you get there, then you see the really great players who can overcome a bad matchup or a really strong matchup where maybe they wouldn't have seen that. But it's like you lose round one, you lose round four, done. So, JR.
I want to ask a question. How many players did they have competing?
128. So pretty small, too.
So eight rounds. Sounds like it should be more than enough for 128 players.
Well, seven because rounds.
Okay. I don't remember. It's been a while since I have competed in Magic Gathering tournament that has done Swiss. It's probably been 5 years. But I do know that the more players that you get, the more rounds are added in Swiss. So,
right. You're totally right. The thing about the amount of rounds in this one is that two losses, you're out in seven rounds, which means you can go 5-2 and not make the top eight.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just not sure. I don't remember how many rounds per how many players in the future, but seven does sound like it might be a little small, but, no, I really like this. I really like Swiss. I like that. It gives players more of a chance to, okay, when you win, you're going to play against people who also won. So you're eventually going to get the best of the best up at the top as you essentially kind of ladder your way up in a way. If you lose your first round, you still have a chance of, you know, getting in that top eight or whatever, you know, if they break to a top eight or anything like that. You still have that chance. I like it better than double elimination because you're kind of playing everybody. You don't have to worry about it. I like it better than single elimination by a lot. And I just like it better than any kind of open slash invite only event where you play into a pool of players that got invited. I absolutely hate that with card games, and I wish that Hearthstone would do away with that altogether. I hope that they eventually adopt the Swiss. Kevin, you have something?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's two things I think we have to sort of be aware of with this. One is that this was one of the very first major scale Swiss tournaments that's been run. I've seen small tournaments run in Swiss and tournaments that don't necessarily feed back into the Hearthstone World Championship system or have big prize pools that have done Swiss. But this is one of the bigger Swiss tournaments that's ever been done. And I think they were working within the constraints of the DreamHack format, which is unfortunately that it runs during an event that has a very short time frame to it. So it effectively became double elimination rather than Swiss, right? That was the big complaint coming out of a lot of people. The other thing is that from a production standpoint, they didn't really know how to handle this yet. And so there were, in the first couple rounds especially, massive downtimes during the stream where people were sitting and watching nothing happen for 30 plus minutes at a time waiting for the next round to happen. So, I mean, I think Swiss is the answer in terms of what's good for the competitive scene, but it's going to require some moderate evolution with respect to what it looks like as a broadcast event.
Yeah, and I know in Magic the Gathering, like the way that they do their games is, you know, they'll have a round, they'll have a show match, and it's usually, you know, whoever is at the top of the tier there in Swish, and they'll show that. And then a lot of times they'll cut to other matches that are going on. So they need to have probably a handful of matches beyond that. So you have something you wanted to say, Kevin, or?
No, I mean, I think there's really not a whole lot more than that to say at this point. Like, it's great. It was a great tournament. I'm really excited to see how the playoffs play out tomorrow morning. But I think the important takeaway here is, John, what is this going to do to BlizzCon points, and how does that work?
Yes. So BlizzCon points, in the end, yes, you win a lot of money potentially from some of these bigger tournaments. But you can also get BlizzCon points, so you can win the maximum amount of money, which is fighting for $250,000. Winner gets $100,000, right, at BlizzCon. Right. So essentially how it works, and I don't want to get too deep into it because it's kind of confusing, but for BlizzCon points, essentially they're different regions across the world, and the top 23 players with the highest point totals get advanced seating in the regional qualifier. So ideally in your region, you're shooting for the top 23 because that way you're seated. You don't have to participate in a last call tournament. And yeah, so you're already kind of getting to the next step. 32 players emerge from the region qualifier to compete in the region championships. And then the top 16 from the region championships will compete in the world championships at BlizzCon. So really the important thing here is players are really shooting for the top 23 so that they can get advanced seating into their qualifiers and hopefully have an easier road to BlizzCon. So we just actually from Blizzard got an update from the different point totals and actually some pretty cool stuff. Life Coach is in first place in Europe with 205 points. He's got a huge lead over Colento, who's got 135 and is in second. What about NA, Kevin?
North America right now, a little bit more competitive. Top three standings right now are Silent Storm, Fibonacci, and Firebat. And definitely good to see Firebat still in the running right now. Obviously, as prior champion, we'd love to see him reprise his appearance at BlizzCon. But he's at 136 points in third, down from Fibonacci's 141 and Silent Storm's 151. So all within 15 points, you know, one or two point changes in your standings at the end of a month on the ladder could change that up in a hurry. And JR, what's the story with Team Archon?
That's a good question. What is the story with Team Archon?
So Kevin, we did a player versus player on the best team in Hearthstone.
We did.
I said Nihilum. You said...
I said Archon.
Archon. Now, to be fair, Nihilum has, I believe, two in the top eight. And I believe they have all of their players in the top 30. So be careful, because yes, top eight, you've got this. I'm giving you the... Archon has a pretty incredible team. And also Zalay, I don't believe, was on the team at that time. So
fair enough.
So, but I will say Archon has right now, they have four players, Amaz, Orange, Firebat, and Zalay in the top eight in their respective regions, which is
how many players do they have like total on their team?
They have 50. No, I'm just kidding. I believe they have six now, right?
Wow.
Something like that.
Yeah. They're a little bit larger overall. Now I need to go check, but yeah, so, I mean, it's definitely kind of huge seeing all.
Well, it depends
different...
who you count, right? Because like they have people like Nadia who are on the team just to stream, but if you count players, there's Amaz, Backspace, Firebat, Orange, Purple Drank, Zixo, and Zalay. So seven.
And I don't know, is Backspace still playing? I haven't actually
seen him play in a while. He hasn't done anything competitive in quite a while. He's still officially a part of the team.
Right. I would almost say
it'd just be for streaming and laddering.
I might say that I would say six. So anyways, they're at 6 and they're doing quite well. So good for them. Are there any names that you guys saw up there that were a little bit surprising to you, or any names that you noticed were missing?
Nope. For me, I would say Strife Crow doesn't seem to be up there.
Strife Crow is in. He is in there. He is in North America at number 13, 80 points.
Oh, see, I'm looking at the top 10 between the two, so that's why I didn't see him.
Oh, got it. Well, it is surprising to see someone like Strife Crow not in the top 10. I would say that.
Right.
I think overall, though, I mean, all the major names are in there in the respective regions.
And it's early, right? Like PhoneTap just finished winning ESL last week and is already ranked 4 in North America from one decent finish. Like, there's time still for a lot of this stuff to shift.
Exactly.
I would say, you know, if Life Coach Colento, RDU, Firebat, Amaz are all sitting at the top respectively, like, yeah, you're seeing a lot of the people you expect to see at BlizzCon for sure. I personally would love to see Brian Kibler sneak through. I'd love to see him squeeze through at the top in North America and get a chance to play the regional qualifiers at least.
Good call. Me too. Do you guys have any favorites? Like, who are you really pulling for world championships here?
I think it would be cool just to see Firebat win back to back, in my opinion.
Interesting.
I think that would be pretty neat. The problem is, I just like Life Coach. Like, he's really good. I enjoy watching him. So, you know, he's leading in Europe right now. So if he wins, you know, that would be pretty cool too. But I just think having a back to back championship of the first 2 years of Hearthstone, you know, competitive WCS, go to someone. I think that would be one heck of a story.
Totally. What about you, Kev?
I love that Amaz is up there right now. I'd really like to see him do well, because it feels like he sort of drifted out of the limelight as a player to sort of worry about building a team and building the scene, you know, and focusing on his stream. So cool to see him doing really well right now. Out of nowhere, now that I've seen the kid play, I love PhoneTap. I think he's got a super good ethic. He was a lot of fun to watch. He went back the day after he won his trophy, and he replied to every single tweet he got, went on Reddit and did a big thank you, got a feature on the Hearthstone site. Like, just super nice looking guy, you know, really very respectful. Thought that was awesome. And I, as a player, I mean, I already shout out to Brian Kibler, who I think should be there, but Orange, I think, is somebody who is really an innovative player, very creative, does good work with his decks, and he's sitting pretty in Europe right now as well, but he's somebody I'd like to be able to see at BlizzCon if I get the choice.
Nice. I like those. I have two kind of sleeper picks that I really want to see win. I guess one's not. I really want to see Savitz. I think that's, he deserves fair. It. He's incredible player, incredible dude, super personable. I get so many music recommendations from him, so I'm in there. And then the other one is, I want to see RDU. I love Life Coach. You already said Life Coach, so I'm a huge Life Coach. But RDU, I mean, he's what, 17 now, 18? I would love to see a world champion at that age, because he's incredible. He's got 120 points. He's 6th in Europe, which is pretty insane for someone that young. What, Kevin? What is it?
I'm sorry. I know we got a script. I know we've got stuff to cover, but the world is exploding right now. There's going to be a weird collision here. Bethesda just announced a Hearthstone competitor at E3 right now.
Oh no.
What? They're doing their own Elder Scrolls CCG.
Oh wow. No.
Yeah, that just happened literally right now. I'm just watching it go by and I'm thinking, oh, you can't be serious.
Wow.
I can't imagine why anyone would try to enter that space right now.
Would or wouldn't?
Would, like, why would you? There's so many collectible card games out there, and like, just watching the jokes go by, people are, you know, yeah, let's play Elderstone or Skyrim the Gathering. Like, no, it's just like, what are you? I don't know. It doesn't look really compelling, but yeah, we'll see.
It's tough. I mean, The thing I think that really made Blizzard successful with it is the simplicity in the user interface. Those two things alone just made it so incredible. Super easy to get into, super awesome interface. I mean, I've tried to play Magic the Gathering online. I've tried to play those other games. Can't do it. Just can't do it. It's just gross. So
Hearthstone also had the advantage, like not to say Bethesda is not a phenomenal developer, because they are, but Hearthstone had the advantage of coming from a very, very devoted audience, right? You had 100 million people or whatever over the course of the game's history that have touched World of Warcraft, been exposed to those characters, have something that would draw them back to say, yeah, I'll play Hearthstone. That's a nothing time commitment. But I don't know. I don't see it. Anyway, I had to get that out there.
And you also had it created by a team that was just kind of throwing it out there to see if it would stick or not. And instead of
so much the same reaction,
instead of this, where they're like, hey, I'm just going to throw this out there to directly try to compete with a game. Now that's there's a little bit of a difference there, too, I think.
Hmm.
So we'll see how it plays out. I'm curious after the show to go.
We'll have to check it out. Sorry, we don't have more information for you guys and can't be like super insightful with our comments about the new.
It's an in development game, but yeah, I mean, everything like the trailer, everything just had a super Hearthstone-esque flair to it, and yeah, it's gonna be interesting.
At the same time, anyway. Too, if a company can capitalize in that space, like there's a lot of money more to be made because I've spent so much money.
You know what? I don't want to know. Like, I don't want to ever look at my account and figure out what I've spent on Hearthstone. I did it once with World of Warcraft a couple years ago, and I cried.
Nope,
I cried.
Don't do that. Don't,
like I said, I did it once. It was a mistake. Okay. I learned.
Kevin doesn't make mistakes. Show title.
I did once.
Kevin doesn't make mistakes. All right. Let's move on then. Cause we did actually have something really cool come out this week with PvP Live. So PvP Live debuted their Hearthstone Pro League this week, and HPL is going to run Monday through Thursday every week. It's a 3 matches that are best of 5 series. And they've got some huge names. The big draw, though, with PvP Live is the fact that they're going super ESPN on this. So they've got a studio in Texas that they're going from. They've got That's Admirable, who's a super excitable guy. So very, I mean, honestly, I think he went to ESPN training school because I think he's nailing the part overall. And they got a new website up, which is just insane statistics. Many will argue and quibble about the relevancy of the statistics, but no doubt there are some really cool statistics up there. And it's almost kind of turned into a mini ESPN website for Hearthstone and Dota and League of Legends. They have some other games up there as well. There's not a whole lot to say about this, but I do want each and every one of you listening to at least go and check it out. I think Josh Mull, one of the content directors for PvP Live, kind of who led this up, did an awesome job with it. And so check it out. It's at pvplive.net and twitch.tv/pvplive. It's really cool.
Yeah, the production value from what I saw, it's pretty good. The casters can get a little over the top, I think, but you can say that about any esports casters, I guess, but this one seemed a little bit more so than normal for Hearthstone related.
And it was it was really cool to see them try too. Like, I'm glad that they're trying something different instead of like, we're not seeing a timer and a countdown between matches nearly as much. We're seeing analysis afterward. We're seeing those exciting moments, and sometimes those exciting moments need to be created. So it's nice to have casters who are willing to do that. I agree with you. I think and they've definitely toned it down as the weeks have gone on, but yeah, overall I'm right with you. Should we get into the big news this week?
Well, okay, before we run away, I do want to say one thing on PvP Live, and that's that they appear to really care about statistics and stuff. If you hit their website, they're big into tracking and having detailed analyses available, which I love, because one of the first complaints I had watching DreamHack was the stuff they put up on screen for information about what was going on was like, what percentage of the viewership might be female, which was just like, why are we even talking about that? Who cares? But it also felt like they often, like, the casters couldn't find lethal when the players did 10 seconds later. Just stuff that was really kind of unfortunate. I feel like the game as a whole benefits so much from the really good third party stats tracking tools and stuff. And PvP Live really cares about showing that data, which I love. I love the whole concept of how they've built their site, the kinds of stuff they want to showcase, the way they talk about the game.
Do they show that during the stream at all, though? Or do they just show it on their website?
They show it on the stream. I've gotten to see it pretty extensively. They show it on the stream. They talk about it so much that it's kind of become a meme. Be on the lookout for the term blowback, because that tends to be everyone's favorite. But yeah, they actually talk to it quite extensively when they're going through their pregame and postgame. They're really bringing up like a damaged enemy hero and other type of stats that are really relevant overall.
That's pretty cool, because that's one of the things, you know, I'm a baseball fan and there's a lot of crazy statistics that go along with baseball. And whenever I watch a baseball game, when they bring those statistics up, it's interesting to be like, oh, this player hits really well when there's a runner on second or third base, you know, more so than if there were no runners. I mean, seeing those kind of statistics in a card game is pretty cool too. I like that they're doing esports, frankly.
I mean, I've been saying for years in StarCraft, it's frustrating that, like, I know, for example, that one player has a style where they technically consistently go for a certain type of unit, but there's no reason that we couldn't say, you know, when this player gets 10 worker kills before 5 minutes, they tend to win the game, right? Or in Hearthstone, right? That, you know, when Sho plays Warrior, if he gets a weapon in his opening hand, his win rate, it jumps to 78% or whatever. Like, that's, those numbers absolutely exist if we could get access to the raw data to track them. But I think a lot of that, unfortunately, would have to come from Blizzard themselves rather than from third party sites. So,
yeah, it's tough. It means that there's someone there probably having to enter in every single statistic. In college,
by hand, yeah. Yep.
In college, I worked with the Minnesota Twins, which is why I'm such a big Twins fan. And I was one of the guys who got to put in a lot of the different stats and data for batting stats. Did it as just a little college job. And it's almost the exact same thing for Hearthstone. Someone has to do that, but it's, you don't make as much money probably doing that in Hearthstone as you would doing that for a baseball team, at
if
least.
Anything.
Right, exactly. There's probably some volunteer be like, I'll do it. That'd be great.
Getting paid in esports dollars, yeah.
Yep. Get paid in Hearthstone packs.
That would be better. That would probably be better. Anyway, yes, now let's get into the big news.
All right, let's get into it. JR, you want to break it down for us?
Yeah, so the big news... Well, I wouldn't say this is the big news.
The prelude to
one of the big news is we now have two new heroes. So last week we saw Magni, King Magni, the new warrior hero, get revealed. And this week we had two more teasers, and then the reveals just a couple days later. We now have a new mage and a new hunter, and they're probably going to be released next week. The mage is Medivh. And the hunter is Illyria Windrunner. So, Kevin, what do you think of these two new heroes that we're seeing?
They're awesome. I know I was sort of like underwhelmed with Magni because honestly, as a character, he did nothing for me. Illyria was one of the sort of like core characters in the original Warcraft series. We last sort of saw her disappear through the dark portal and get, you know, off there with Turalyon doing stuff back in the earliest days of the Warcraft RTSs, and haven't seen her since. We have no idea what happened to her. We kind of thought maybe we'd bump into her in Burning Crusade in World of Warcraft, which never happened.
Or she was just Warlords, which still hasn't happened.
Warlords, sure.
Isn't there, there is a quest, though, in Warlords that alludes to Illyria's, one of her lost arrows that you have to retrieve?
There was reference to her in Burning Crusade too, but it never manifested. So I think, you know, I even saw some tweets from other people who work on WoW who were like, there, this is where she is for right now. She's playing cards, like, leave it alone. But I think she's great. And I'm actually very thrilled that they got Michelle Morrow involved to do her voice acting, because I think it's cool that they're reaching out to people in the community and not just doing it internally. That's a super neat thing for me. But the big one for me is totally Medivh. Medivh is an awesome character. There's a ton of history there. Again, early Warcraft, like just tugs on the nostalgia for anybody who was there. And the artwork for him is awesome. I mean, I wasn't sold on Magni. I was kind of whatever. These guys look great. And don't forget, we still haven't seen the additional details. We've seen the portraits and the card backs, but we haven't seen the hero power animations. We haven't heard any of the voice work. We know roughly what they're going to say from data mined files. But I want to see, how does Medivh cast Fire Blast? Because that to me is going to make Mage awesome in a way that it absolutely is not for me right now. It's one of my least played classes, but I'm super stoked. John, what do you think?
I was personally pulling for the good old horse and broom.
Me too.
So we'll put in the show notes. Somebody made a brilliant color in of the kind of, they have the shadows of the heroes as they're revealing them. And a guy colored them in to be like a horse holding a broom. It's hilarious. But I'm huge about it. I think, isn't Medivh in the Warcraft movie? Isn't he going to be one of the main characters?
Yep. He is. So, correct. I don't remember who he's played by, but he is.
I think it's Ben. What's his name?
It starts with an F. Ben, I believe his last name.
You're thinking of Benjamin Franklin. That's not him. Different Ben. Ben Foster.
Anyway.
Ben Foster. Anyways.
Oh, see, F, I was right.
You were right.
Point being, they're going back. They've really decided that early Warcraft era is what they want to draw on. It's what the Warcraft movie's from. They went back to Burning Crusade with Warlords of Draenor. Now Hearthstone is reaching into the freaking annals and hauling these old characters out of the closet. I think it's awesome.
Totally. I'm all about it. I'm with you, Magni, kind of meh, but I'm a big Medivh fan and have developed a small crush on Illyria. So there we go.
Kevin, I'm going to have to ask you, with these two new heroes, have you changed your mind about the price point?
No, I haven't. I think they've still, like I said last go around, I think this is the perfect example of a microtransaction. It's a beautiful fit for Hearthstone. It would be a great fit for any game because it's purely cosmetic, right? I felt awful when I had to spend money on card packs to stay competitive when the game was sort of starting to hit that, point where every competitive deck required 8 legendaries, and that age has sort of come and gone in some ways, but you couldn't go to a player now and straight-faced say, no, you don't need Naxxramas or Blackrock Mountain to play the game competitively. Like, you can't. So those things being as expensive as they are, also asking for more money on top of that for this has still just got me with a bit of a sour taste in my mouth, because $10 is a lot of money for one character. It really is.
But you're still excited about them.
I love them. I'm unashamed about the fact that I am going to probably buy most or all of them. But I will find a way to make that work, and that's because I am passionate about this game, about the company that develops it, about the people who work on the game. I really want to see it do well. But if I wasn't that kind of person, and it was just, is the value proposition of a picture and a card back worth $10 to me, the answer would be no.
What do you think, John?
I'm still staying on the exclusivity route. I think if you make it too accessible, it's not special. I think they want to make it special so that everything you see on the ladder isn't an alternate hero. And if it is, it's that person's one or two that they've purchased. And so I'm standing by that. I think it's the right choice. Of course, I want it to be cheaper, but I think overall it's the right price point to be at. So yeah, that's all I have to say.
Yeah, I'll probably end up buying one, actually. I really do like Illyria Windrunner. And her
card back is awesome.
Yeah.
Yep. Totally. I can't wait for the druid one. Because I love.
I wish I could buy them all, but I'm not going to spend $30 for all three.
$90+.
Yeah.
So that is the sort of question we're dancing around, though. Do you guys have any thoughts on who the other characters might be?
I can't even speculate. I don't know. They're going.
I just want to know who the other warlock is going to be.
Like, Warlock's a tough one because there's really nothing. Well, there's nothing era appropriate if they're trying to stick to this sort of like. You mean Wilfred Fizzlebang?
Wilfred, yes. What did I say? Fizzlecrank. I mean, they're all the same, right?
Summons Lord Draxus.
Yes,
he is. Okay. Yeah.
He's a gnome too, which is really the only gnome besides Mechatork, who's a card, who we could see
Milhouse
as a hero. He's a card.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
I don't know. I mean, it's tough because there's just not enough really good lore characters for some of these slots. I would be shocked if we didn't get, for example, Garona for the rogue. And I think that there's, you know, the reasonable possibility of like Hummel Rune Totem for Druid, because I can't name another reasonably interesting Druid character. Tyrande as priest would be not a huge far cry. But really, like, alternate warlock, I no idea. Alternate shaman? I mean, you're going to just grab a character, and if it's not just another orc waving around playing with thunder and lightning, I don't know who you pick. Like, it's tough. Lots of people are speculating things like Lady Leadrin for Paladin, which I think would be cool, but I would be far less shocked to see another lore character like Tyrulean, right? So,
think any chance of seeing pre-Lich King Arthas?
Doubt it. I mean, would be super cool, but doubt it. I think it would be a really tough sell because everybody knows him as the Lich King, right? They even see those names as interchangeable at some point.
It'd be an interesting interaction, though, between him and Jaina.
Would be.
Yeah.
But I feel like they're getting a lot of that out of the system over in Heroes, too. So.
True. True. Yeah. We'll stay away from the speculation then. And let's. All right. Should we jump into some of these new UI changes, Kev?
Yeah, because this obviously character information is a part of a broader patch. We know now that they're adding some new stuff to go with them. So we knew all along there was going to have to be a basic change to the shop UI to allow for the purchase of the new heroes. In the new UI, when you get the patch, you'll be able to see a third button along the bottom of the store between or after cards and adventure modes. You'll see the heroes button. You can go in, select a hero through a scrolling menu, each hero at $9.99. You can hit the preview button to preview the hero's animated portrait, card back, and I think you can see the hero power, but I don't know if it actually showcases the animation.
You can see, yeah, you can see the button, but not the animation, at least in the video that was.
Right. So to our knowledge, you will not actually see the animated hero power. You cannot actually test the emotes. So you would have to get that information from a third party place, a website or somewhere else, because you can't see it in the client. And then in the collections pane, as has been spoken to already before, you can go in and you can set a favorite card back that will be the default card back for all of your decks, but you can also select individual card backs per deck now if you want to have a different card back assigned to a particular deck, which people have been saying would be an option forever, and I think that's super cool. But yeah, you do get to set that default favorite, which was something that we had talked about before as well, being a problem of how do you balance between the existing system of picking one and being able to assign them individually. And then also heroes will work the same way. So you can assign a favorite hero once you own two or more characters for a particular class. And if you make a new mage deck and Medivh is your favorite hero, it'll default to Medivh. You don't have to select him or Jaina when you build the deck. So what do you guys think? Are you on board with the way they've done this?
I'm pretty excited for the card back thing. It's been, 2 years now since they introduced different card backs, and they never have introduced a way to really do anything with them other than select them for this is a card back that you are playing with whenever you play the game. So this has been something that the community has been asking for a long time, and I'm happy to see it getting put in, especially being able to choose, you know, this card back I really want for this specific deck is pretty cool. I'm pretty excited about that for such a small cosmetic feature. But because I like doing that, like, once again, Magic the Gathering, I always had these, you know, card sleeves and different colored card sleeves for my different decks so that I can tell, you know, well, this is a deck that I want to play here just based on the card sleeves. And I'd always make my card sleeves match what deck I was playing. Kind of weird that card players do stuff like that, but I'm glad that they're bringing it into Hearthstone.
Yeah, and I do think it's awesome that they made it so that we can actually see more than two card backs at the same time now or whatever, because the old way of managing them sucked. Like, it just wasn't intuitive at all. Like, I have 24 card backs or whatever now, and scrolling through them two at a time is just not manageable.
Right. So what do you think, John?
Yeah, I mean, so super cool, super necessary, great feature, used by many, probably not used a lot by me, just for the fact where, as far as the card backs go, I love to collect them. I could really care less about what it actually looks like on the board because I never get to see mine really anyway, except for the side view. So I'll set a favorite, and I'll probably, if I get like an alternate hero, I'll probably set that as like my favorite for that hero or whatever. But besides that, I won't personally use it, but super necessary and will be used by many. It's something people have been asking for a long time. I think they did a good job balancing features and, you know, making it still simple and very, you know, it's not an incredibly complicated interface, just like 9 deck slots. Sorry, low blow.
Ooh.
Low blow. Ooh. Sorry. I had to do it. Elephant in the room. Anyway, so yeah, I'm all about it. Are there any other? Go ahead.
I feel like this patch is centered around more of the casual players, the cosmetic things, nothing that is really like for the really hardcore players. And that's good to have because I feel like the past stuff that they have been coming out with has been geared more for the competitive play, whereas this is more geared for those casual players that just want to do things like, you know, change the card backs on their decks and be able to pick and choose or be able to have alternate heroes because they don't like to play as Garrosh as a warrior. They want to play as something else. And I think it's cool that they're doing that.
Are there any other changes that you guys would have made to the UI? Are there any things that you think that they really missed as far as implementing a way to manage your card backs and your favorite heroes and the new shop? Or are you guys overall pretty satisfied?
That's tough because I think the problem is that we're so constrained by what we assume to be the limitations of their design philosophy here. I would still, frankly, in lieu of or alongside the ability to deal with multiple deck slots, I would love to be able to just do things like import-export, right? Just hit a button on my menu that allows me to download all of my existing deck files, and then if I wanted to, I could just pop them right back in on my PC. Obviously, that's not something that would work on the mobile clients, but it would be just no different than me importing or exporting a playlist out of iTunes, which is frankly a very simple piece of software too. So I don't know. There's little things that I would love to have seen, but they're very much like personal wish listy things. I think in terms of what's being added to the game right now, they pretty much nailed it.
Yeah, I would love to see an import export feature because especially for a website like BlizzPro, where I'm writing a deck of the week or something like that, I can just put up a file out there. You guys can download it, try out the deck, not even have to, you know, read off the website and build it. It's just boom right there in your Hearthstone game. That would be pretty sweet. I'd really like that.
Huge for all sorts of community sites. It would be great for especially things like the puzzle solving elements of the adventure modes, stuff like that. It's one of the things that I thought a long time ago would have been just super cool, but in terms of what they're doing right now, yeah, we needed a way to manage heroes and card backs. The way they've done that is very nice. I have no qualm with what they've done with it. So
how awesome would it be to have custom maps where you can design your puzzle, import it into a game, people download it, and try to figure out lethal in the game?
That would be fun. You know what? I honestly will not be shocked when they get around to it.
Mario Maker for Hearthstone.
Give or take, yeah. I think there's a lot of room to do some cool stuff like that because, yeah, there would be so much that they could do with letting us just set up a custom board state, save it. Okay, here you go. Load up this game. You know, it'd be no different than loading up replays in StarCraft or Heroes or whatever else. In Heroes, they don't have this yet, but in StarCraft, they introduced a way where you could take a replay file and then jump into it as the player. So get a replay of your two favorite pros about to have the big battle that decides who wins 100 grand, and then you take control and play the Zerg player and just, can I do it? Can I win that fight? I think taking Hearthstone games or anything that Blizzard could do to bring those features across, like this has been one of my constant complaints, is that there's so many cool things that are being done in any one of these titles, and I'd like to see them cross over. I'd love to see that stuff happening in Hearthstone, because Hearthstone feels like a game that could benefit from that. But you're right, this was a patch that was very much about casual players, casual features, stuff that's just designed to make the game fun again for people who are maybe burnt out on ranked play, JR.
Yep. That especially sounds... on the next thing that we're going to probably talk about.
Right.
You know what? Let's just go right into it. So the big elephant in the room this last week. So we had a fourth button appear last week and we speculated. We all pretty much agreed on tournament mode, right? We're thinking that's got to be tournament mode. Why would you allocate a different button? I will say Andres from the Hearthaholics podcast actually called this about a week and a half ago. So kudos to that guy, but he nailed Tavern Brawls. So the new button is not a tournament mode. Instead, we have something called Tavern Brawls. The Hearthstone website explains Tavern Brawls exactly like this. So each week, a different Tavern Brawl will pitch you head-to-head versus another player using exciting and unique rules. One week might feature preset decks, while another could have you crafting a brand new Tavern Brawl following specific guidelines, while others might offer buffs to specific minion types. So basically, it's Challenge Stone, kind of, with that's in client, and it's casual and competitive in the sense where you can play friends, you can go into some sort of matchmaking feature, presumably just like you go into, you know, casual or ranked play, and it's going to be rewarding a free card pack when you get your first win each week. So something new to do. But JR, I want to hear what, so far, what do we know? Tell us what we know about Tavern Brawl so far.
So what we know is that Tavern Brawls are going to be unlocked once you have a hero that's at least level 20. So if you're a new player, you're not going to get it right off the bat. If you've been around the block a few times, you're going to get this thing when it gets released, because we all should have level 20 heroes by now, I would assume. You'll be able to, as John said, you'll be able to brawl your friends, you know, be able to challenge them. You'll be able to queue up and play against other people. Tavern Brawls will have a free admission when the game mode becomes available. And also, like, the way they worded that was when it becomes available, but Zariah basically confirmed that they're free altogether, like here on out, basically. The reward system for Tavern Brawls, you get a free card pack when you win your first game of the week in the first several brawls. There's been no word about if there's going to be more rewards beyond that. This sounds like this will probably be all that there will be, though, is kind of a weekly card pack that you'll win. Brawls will be available intermittently, closing for a couple days in between the different brawls. So this might be something that is similar to what World of Warcraft is doing with patch 6.2 with time walking, where they have the time walking dungeons just available for certain days of the week, like the weekends or whatever. Brawls might be something like that, it sounds like. And last but not least, the first brawl will be playable in mid-June. I would assume that we're probably going to be seeing the patch this week. We might see the brawls maybe this week, but may not be until the week after.
So, Kev, what do we not know? Is there anything that we're not totally sure of yet?
Well, I mean, I think JR is correct on the entry fee thing. The wording of the launch article is still kind of ambiguous, and what's floating around out there is not 100% clear. But if it's true that it's totally free, then that is a known, not an unknown. And it does fit with exactly what we were just saying on the show last week about how the game was really due for something that people could just jump in and have fun with that didn't cost them anything. So in that respect, I'm thrilled. We're not 100% clear on the reward structure. What we know right now is that you get one classic card pack, and this is how they're, I think, in the short term, intending to solve the how do I build my classic collection versus GVG collection problem, which is you can get classic cards from Brawls, no cost, and you can get your GVG packs from Arena at moderate cost. So for somebody who has no starting point right now and just gets into the game today, they can play Brawls for free, don't need much of a collection to play Brawls effectively, and build their collection at a reasonable pace by getting free cards every week. It would be interesting, and I'll have to run the math later to see how many weeks it would take to get a reasonably okay collection of classic cards. But my guess is that you could do it in a few months. Our understanding is that once you're into a Tavern Brawl for the week, you can play as many times as you want, and it just tracks your win-loss for that week. We don't 100% know that, but that's our assumption right now. And there's no clarity right now on if there's any benefits or drawbacks to playing with people through the matchmaking service versus playing with your friends. So can you just play a game with a friend and you each win one, lose one, and then you're done with brawls for the week, you got your rewards, and away you go? We don't know. We don't have an answer to that yet. And my guess is at this point, we won't know till the feature goes live. But other than that, it seems pretty cut and dry how it's going to work. And I think, honestly, all the feedback looks positive. I'm really excited.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited too. Like I was saying, I'm pretty burned down on ranked play. This is going to be what gets me to play every week for a while. I'm really excited about possibly building new decks, trying new things, playing with some of the crazy new cards that they're allowing you to play with. You know, it's going to be like being able to hop into adventure mode and you get to play some of the crazy cards from adventure mode in this thing. So, you know, I'm pretty excited for the different challenges that they'll have each week. It really kind of feels like that whole Challenge Stone tournament is in the game in a way.
Definitely. So I'm super excited about this too, actually. I think this is going to be fun. It's going to be a nice change of pace. You can play arena, you can play casual, you can play ranked, and now you can even spend some time in some tavern brawls, play with some new cards, you know, probably OP, probably UP, under P, under pro,
under P.
Under P. Did not sound great. I'm sorry. But yeah, it's great. And someone did on Reddit throw up kind of a leak version of some of the cards. Now, these were data mined. We don't know. Some of them are kind of like weird. Like there's one that's Corin Dianbrew. He's a 4-mana 4/8 legendary that says always wins brawls. Battle cry, add a brawl to your hand. Like I don't even know what that is.
He's in adventure mode.
Right, he's like an adventure mode boss, but like that.
No, that card is in adventure mode. Like when you play against Corin Dianbrew, one of the cards he can play is that one.
Oh, like the card brawl. I'm an idiot.
Right.
This is why people write back and tell me that I'm an idiot because I get things like that. So, touche. Those it
means
fans
you always
writing
if
in.
Someone plays brawl, it means that card wins brawls.
God dang it. I hate my life. All right.
It's okay.
So
I got you back.
Thanks, JR. You're the best. So let's talk about some of these cards. Are there any cards in here that you kind of looked and saw or kind of excited about, Kev?
I mean, it's hard to know until we know a little bit more about how it all works, right? Because clearly they're gimmick cards. They're designed to be for fun. I think it's cool that there's some good throwbacks. Like they've done a really good job in my mind all the way through of making the cards consistent to, for people who are transitioning over from Warcraft, what they're used to. Like the Core Hound pop, I think is hilarious because it's such an obvious homage to early Molten Core. And they sort of just did this with the 10th anniversary Molten Core raid. But yeah, it's cool to see that it's going to resurrect all the ones that died because that's hilarious, you know, or Moira Bronzebeard summoning Emperor Thorason. Like there's just lots of good little touches that way. So we'll see, right? Like this is all clearly if it's in for one particular, I think, specific, like this will be the first Tavern Brawl is Nefarian versus Ragnaros, and here's all the cards, and it's just kind of riffing on the stuff they already had queued up in the back end from when they were working on Blackrock Mountain. So cool, right? Like I'm all about it. I don't know. Do you have a preference? Is there a card you really like?
I want Gulmog, 50 mana. Costs one less for each damage your hero is taken. He's a 20/20.
Nice.
That card is so ridiculous. And that means that that brawl, you have to have like an extensive huge life total. So we're not going to see games where, you know, you're at 30 life and your opponent's at 30 life. We're going to see games with probably crazy life totals as well, because otherwise this card can't even, you know, get played. So, I really like the fact that there's, you know, these adventure mode cards that you can play with, because I know one of the things when adventure mode was brought out with Curse of Naxxramas, you know, I think it was Eric Dodds I was asking about. I was like, man, how awesome would it be to have a mode where I can be able to play these cards instead of the boss, and have a mode where I can play against players with this? And he's like, yeah, that would be pretty cool, wouldn't it? So
and they just chuckle and go their merry way.
Just got told.
Yeah. So, but I am really excited for these kind of game modes, because Magic, I enjoy playing like in a competitive sense in tournaments and stuff like that. But when I play with my friends, we play goofy stuff. So this is perfect for my friends. You know, we just hop on and play these goofy tavern brawls every week.
Totally.
I think it's really going to help move the needle in terms of the perception of Hearthstone as a game, because it was really introduced as like, this is super easy to pick up and put down. It's not very difficult. Mechanics aren't super complicated. Make a deck of your cards, have some fun. And when it first came out in like the early alpha, that's how it felt, right? I slapped together some stuff that's on curve in my ramp warlock deck of yore, and away I go, and I have fun, and it's nice, and you're not super worried about ranks and, you know, what competitive deck will carry me to legend and blah, blah, blah. And I think we've sort of gotten really fixated on that, and that's become what people are worried about, is, you know, the meta game and all this stuff that's super competitive. This is, I mean, for me, honestly, my fear personally is this is going to start to feel like my weekly quest. I have to log in and do a tavern brawl every week to make sure I get my cards. But honestly, it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. It adds something to the game that isn't barriered by cost. It adds something to the game that's going to make it super easy to introduce new players to the game to, like, here, do this for fun, and when you understand the mechanics, go try your hand at competitive play. And I think that's, honestly, that's how I will probably introduce people to the game from this point out, is using tavern brawls.
Just make sure they have a level 20.
Yeah.
So the thing I really like about this is there's finally something here that I feel like I can play that I'm not going to stress out if I'm winning or losing, right? I hate if I lose in ranked, like I can tilt really hard. Arena just completely stresses me out. And so I can go in this and I can just play and have fun. And I think this is the Hearthstone team just introducing something that's just designed to be fun. There's no stress. There's not like these huge rewards and a bunch of wasted time, things like that. It's like when you get a win, you get a card back. And the rest of it's just have fun. I mean, I can even think if I'm losing on ladder, maybe to de-stress, I'll hop over into tavern brawls and just like play around with some wacky decks. So I'm a big fan of this. I wish some of these dragon cards were real, because I think we'd see a lot more synergy from dragons, a lot more dragon decks, like the Dragonkin Hatcher. It's a 5-mana 4/6 that says summon 2/2 whelps. Just like seeing that, and that card would get played and everything, might even be a little too powerful.
To say that's Dr. Balanced version 2.0.
No, it's mini and it's got 4 damage, so 4 attacks, so the priest can't take care
of
it.
Do you think this is a way for them to kind of test out cards that they might be thinking about in the future?
I don't think so.
I don't think it's for cards. I think it's for mechanics. I think it's a way for them to explore things that may or may not work in the ranked space, because they can start and put in bizarre interactions that obviously can't fly in the typical ranked play today. And it also maybe gives them a way in the future. And this is partially a guess and partially a request, but it gives them a way to say, okay, when we have a clever idea for something that's crazy with random number generation stuff, like Piloted Shredder, put it in Tavern Brawl. Put it somewhere where its impact on competitive play isn't quite so massive. Because now there is this really obvious distinction between here's where you play for fun with the crazy stuff, and here's where you play with the consistent competitive stuff. And that, I think, would be awesome. It would be awesome to see them just experiment and have fun and let us really bend the limits of what they've done so far in Tavern Brawl, and then go back to Constructed and say, okay, we've seen some crazy stuff. We had a lot of fun. Now, let's go and let's be serious and let's not have games decided by random death rattles.
And there's also so many set in stone things, like with ranked play, is like you will never start with more than, you know, 0 and 1 mana. You will never have a hero with more than 30 health. Probably. Maybe they can find a way to balance that and make a super weak hero. I don't know, but I don't see it happening. And now you can start playing with these things too, which are really exciting. And yeah, I think it's going to be a huge hit. I think a lot of my friends would want to start to play a little bit more and just like have the fun part of it. I love the competitive part and I'll probably stay over there, but I'm all about it. I think it's really cool. It's not tournament mode, which is a little bit of a bummer. So it doesn't feel exactly what I wanted, but overall, it's still something really cool.
I'm hoping this allows them to, you know, kind of put some kind of new shiny in front of us for a bit while they're working on possibly fixing what I feel they need to do is fix rank play or bring in, you know, a tournament mode or something like that.
I'm 100% sure. Yeah, I'm 100% sure that things like improvements to spectator mode and stuff like that, especially for use in major tournaments and stuff, are like they've got to be coming. And I'm very confident at this point that they know their audience. They knew it was time to do something casual. They knew it was time to do something that didn't have a price tag attached to it. They gave us some easy free to play cosmetic microtransactions. They're on the right path. And I think our problem, as always, as it has been since forever, is that we just want more and we want it faster and we can't get enough, right? If they launched tournament mode tomorrow, we would be thrilled and then we would go right back to asking for the next thing. So that's the reality, right? Is we're just too excited.
I'd be asking to fix spectator mode too.
We're ungrateful brats. There you go.
Ungrateful brats.
Yep. Here's a new thing. Title. Thanks, but what about this new thing I want?
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Exactly.
Well,
so...
You want me to? All right, I'll take it. Guys, we need to, let's go into mail really quick before we end out the week.
We've got mail.
All right, Kev, go ahead and take this email for us.
For sure. So, as always, guys, please continue dropping us your reviews, emails, tweets, anything you want to get in touch with the show. We're hoping to have lots of good, fun stuff coming for you, both in terms of show content and some other announcements in the next couple of weeks. And we do try to get back to everybody who gets in touch with us. So we got one email this week from Richard. And Richard writes, "Dear John, Kevin, and JR, just wanted to say how stoked I am for the new Tavern Brawl mode. Looks like the devs got inspired by the recent Challenge Stone tournament, and I'm really excited to see what crazy deck concepts they can come up with. Gonna guess they had this idea before Challenge Stone. Gonna put that out there, but yeah." Your new segment on how you are all planning on tackling the current meta is really interesting to me, too. Please continue with this, as it is the kind of information I need to improve my performance on the ladder. I'm currently finishing seasons at rank 8 on the EU server. Perhaps you could add an extension to discuss the strategy you used in the previous week's Tavern Brawl once the new game mode has been released. Hope your podcast continues to thrive, and JR's Face Hunter rant a few weeks ago was superb. Richard." So, yay. Richard, thank you very much for that message, and obviously... we kind of went through this with PvP when we took the first break from PvP as well. Beat 'em or join 'em isn't going anywhere. That segment's coming back. The only reason we didn't do one this week, honestly, and the same reason we, for the first time in several weeks, didn't go through the meta reports, is there's really not much to report. The game has sort of stabilized for the time being around a fairly consistent meta. The same three classes have dominated for quite a while, and nothing has emerged to suggest that's going to change anytime soon. So... when there's something new to tell you, we'll be right back in there and we'll talk again about whether we're going to beat them or join them.
Yeah, and the only big shift really in the meta has been the Malygos Warlock has really taken off and has become a top tier deck.
Yeah, so, it's getting a lot of play at the tournaments. We saw a lot of it at DreamHack this week. So that's the singular change. So it didn't merit a huge discussion, unfortunately.
Absolutely. Yep. We also got... 2 new 5-star reviews this week. Chair, you want to take those?
Sure. Once I get screen that had them.
It's my
actually,
fault.
Actually, John, go for it.
It's my fault because I write these really long show notes with like paragraphs and paragraphs of information. And then I make them pick and choose out throughout. I like hide them. It's like, where's Waldo? So we did get 2 reviews this week. Guys, thank you so much. Reviews help so much for a podcast. It's
hugely.
it's honestly next to like, it's almost worth, I mean, thousands of listens is like a review. So from podcasters, we really thank you, because the success of the show couldn't be without you guys leaving your reviews, giving us your feedback. And it's just been awesome. So this week, we just want to send a big thank you to GeoHube and The Goblin King 3 for leaving us reviews this week. Thank you guys so much again. So if you want to get in contact us through email, you can definitely do that. You can email us at wellmet@blizzpro.com. You can also send us your tweets to Wellmet Podcast. And you can find all of us on our Twitters, which you can find at the end of the show. Kev, what are you up to this week, man?
Well, actually, I'm going to be busy. I hate to say it, but in one of my alternate lives, I do a lot of volunteer work with our local SPCA, with the Animal Rescue, and I've got a bunch of meetings this week to try to do some stuff for them. So I'm going to be tied up with that, obviously working away and trying to get some more time in on Hearthstone. I'm hoping that by the time we record next week, I can come back and have an improvement to report. I'd like to get back up into the, you know, rank 2-3 range and be set up to make that sort of end of the month push to legend. And it's gonna have to happen pretty soon here, because I'd like to do a lot of work on that before the big WoW patch hits next week. So
great. What about you, JR?
Yeah, I'm hopefully playing Tavern Brawls. And I'm hoping that the Hearthstone patch does release this week and then we get that new mode. So I'll probably be playing that. I am working on improving our BlizzPro Twitch channel. So if you go to twitch.tv/BlizzPro, you're going to start seeing the Hearthstone Power Hour, the Heroes Power Hour, which I'm on every Tuesday night, and also West March Workshop on that channel. And I'm planning on streaming a bit more here soon. They'll be going I'm going to be streaming kind of an Extra Life thing to raise money for children's hospitals. So what about you, John?
So we got volunteering and raising money for charity. I feel like a complete scumbag right now. So thank you guys. I don't have any volunteer work set up this week. So I'm a jerk. I'll take over JR's role this week. JR, hopefully we have some fun more news about the show and that new Twitch channel type stuff. That's all we're going to say this week because the song's ended. So thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you next week. Was that the wrong button? Perhaps.
That was the wrong button.
You can find John on Twitter at @KickedTripod and on Twitch at twitch.tv/KickedTripod. You can find JR on Twitter at @Eldorian and on Twitch at twitch.tv/BlizzPro. And you can find Kevin on Twitter at @LackOfRealism. And on Twitch at twitch.tv/OdinTV. Well met. BlizzPro.com. Beyond Noob.